Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. I'm here with the brilliant Jo Dallas. Welcome, Jo.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, it's really great to have you. For those that don't know about you or about Headway Portsmouth, can you just tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, I run the charity Headway Portsmouth and South East Hampshire. We support people with an acquired brain injury. So it can be someone that's been involved in a road traffic accident, they've had a stroke, aneurysm. And often we're in touch with them from the hospital. We follow their journey through and then we run social inclusion sessions. They attend those sessions. We offer a lot of emotional support, not only the individuals with the brain injury, we also support their family members, carers. And that's what we do.
Wow. And I'm just thinking about, you know, anyone that has an injury, like how much of an impact that must have, you know, not just on their lives, but their family and the people around them. So within that one injury, there's a lot of people to support, right?
Yeah, it turns everyone's life upside down. And what we've found over the years is, you know, all the focus really, and so it should be, is the person that's got the injury.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we offer a lot of support to the family members because their life is also turned upside down. You know, often they've lost the one that they love, and they come back a different person. And, you know, they're discharged from hospital with sometimes not that much support. We often get a phone call going, help. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And that's where we offer the emotional support and just advice really, so that they know how they're feeling is normal, but there's also help out there that will help them get through it all.
Yeah, it sounds like such a worthy charity, Jo. And we connected recently, didn't we? So you joined Shaping as a member.
Yes.
And we're so happy to have you as part of our kind of network and community, because until that sort of happens and until we had that conversation, I just didn't realise how much work is actually happening in the city to support these people and their families. So how long have you been in the role, Jo?
I've been in the role since 2021, but I was a trustee from 2016. So I've been involved for, 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time.
And I noticed that Headway's been going since, is it 1986? Is
1986,
that right?
Yes. Wow. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year.
Okay, and is that in Portsmouth or is that nationally?
No, that's Portsmouth. That's Portsmouth. How long we've been going on. Yeah. So we're linking it in nicely with the Portsmouth centenary celebrations.
Lots to celebrate, and I'm sure so many people that you've helped across that time. So thinking back to sort of like the origins of Headway and certainly since you've been there, like what's changed? Like what's been happening across that time?
I think for me, I took over in 2021, but I think prior to that, I know that a lot of the service users, it was statutory funding.
Okay.
And that stopped a good sort of nine years ago. And then before I was there, Headway Portsmouth had to refocus and redo sort of their business plan. And that's where we changed the business model that we do. We rely heavily on grants, donations, but also we had a lady that was on sabbatical from B&Q, and she set up 4 charity shops, which worked really well. So unfortunately, two have closed down, but we've still got 2 running, one in Cosham and 1 in Fareham. And they do incredibly well, amazing, and the staff there are incredible. And so that helps us as a charity. So any sort of profit gets put back into the charity. So that helps us big time.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. It's not an easy time, is it, for charities?
No, I mean, you speak to anyone that is running a charity. We've all got the same concerns. And it's hard. I mean, I don't want to pass on costs to our service users. Mm-hmm. I mean, we With our social inclusion sessions, we charge a small nominal fee, but that doesn't cover even 50% of our overheads, really.
Sure.
But yeah, it's just lovely. Honestly, it's a lovely sort of role to have.
Yeah. So talk to me about that. What are some of the joys that you experience as CEO?
Well, it's meeting our service users. Mm-hmm. They are such lovely people. And the sessions we run, honestly, I come out of them with such a good feel factor. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel guilty that I'm I'm there joining in with the sessions, because it's such a nice feeling. But also part of my role is to get to know all the service users.
Sure.
And to be quite honest, I know most of them, you know, by name and by sight. And we've got sites not only in Portsmouth, but we work over in Gosport and up in Petersfield as well. So we're quite a broad area.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's lots of people to support, you know. Do you know how many sort of service users the charity helps?
Yeah, we've got we probably have about 130 service users that regularly attend our sessions. At the moment, we've got 100 referrals that two of my members of staff are dealing with. That's not including sort of the carers and family members that they're also doing. So, yeah, it's busy, and we're a very small team. I'm the only one that's full time. Everyone else is part time.
It never ceases to amaze me. Like I worked at Spark for a time, and you know, pretty similar. It's always a small team, but just with the biggest hearts and just trying to help as many people as possible. And it just doesn't make sense sometimes, like the size of the work that you want to do and how many people you want to help, and actually who's making it all happen. Is that it doesn't seem balanced to me sometimes.
No, I agree. It's just getting the right people. I mean, I've been so lucky with the staff that I've got. You know, and it's sad when some of them move on. And we always try and get, you know, someone that we kind of know or will fit in. And you know, one of the big things I've done, I employed one of our service users.
Okay,
and he runs our young persons. He's a young persons lead. And that's been lovely to see, sort of give sort of a new lease of life into him. So he believes that he's got the ability to sort of hold a job. And it's only part-time, don't get me wrong, but it's lovely. And he's just so inspirational to the youngsters, and actually to other people within Choir Brennan, just because he talks so openly about his experience and he can relate to them. It's lovely.
Yeah, and just to give people that hope, really, like you can have a job, or you can contribute back to the community. Like, it doesn't have to define you, what's happened to you. Like, you can choose to reframe it in a different way.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think our sessions that we hold, it was to make everyone, you know, I just wanted the sessions to be like a normal session that we would go to on a weekly basis and have a laugh and a chat with people that are like-minded. And they all get on so well. They've all, don't get me wrong, they like their routine. They will sit at the same table playing the same board games and that. But through my what I wanted to do when I first took over, my background is leisure, and in particular tennis. So I wanted to enable them to sort of participate in more sporting activities. And we are based at the Mountbatten Centre.
Okay.
So it makes perfect sense that we do some leisure activities. So they do seated chairs. So we're linking with BH Live and their GP referral team, the gym. We also have a session over at the tennis centre. So it's lovely. And sometimes we've done swimming. We've tried cricket. I just like to sort of try everything with them.
Or to keep moving. There's so much that comes, for your well-being, being outside, for example, being in nature, moving, all of those things are so good for you, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I think is so good. Like some of the individuals, it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. But then when they start to do it, mm-hmm. they appreciate and they can see the difference. And one of the biggest things we found, that particularly when we were doing tennis, I mean, we've been doing tennis for about 8 years now, the sort of partners or carers said that the individuals just came home more relaxed, tired, but they slept well.
Yes,
which is
okay.
a really, really good thing for them as well. So they had a really good night's sleep because actually they'd done a bit of exercise, they were tired, but in a positive way.
Mm.
So yeah, sport was amazing. So we've got a routine now where they do set things each week, which is brilliant, and it works in Portsmouth.
Yeah, so it's great. And it's good you've managed to sort of weave in your like previous roles in your new role.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love
so
that.
It's lovely. Yeah.
So, talk to us a bit more about like what does the support you offer look like? So, if someone has an injury, like talk me through kind of like the steps that are involved.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say from the start. So I have a colleague that will go up to the QA hospital. She's managed to forge relationships with the hospital mm-hmm. and the ward. So she goes up onto the ward where they have people with an acquired brain injury. She will liaise with the staff there and also the family members. And that's where I say, because the person is too ill, usually mm-hmm. in the hospital, she will liaise with the parents or the yeah. loved ones. And just sort of offer them that emotional support and also to make them aware that when they are discharged, that we're there, there's still help, and we're there to support them all the way through. So once they're discharged, and obviously we've got the hospital are there and they've got their OTs, mm-hmm. the physio, they've got the brain injury outreach team that also work with the individuals, the community stroke team, depending on the, mm-hmm. the injury they have. But we're always there as well, and we work closely with those people. And then once they're, I mean, I think the positive that we do, we stay in touch a lot longer. We're not tied by any sort of monitoring,
no
or we can only see someone for 6 weeks or whatever. So we stay in touch until we feel that they don't need us anymore, or they feel they don't need us anymore. Our main aim is to get them to come to our social inclusion sessions if they want to.
Yeah.
And then often we always leave it, they know where we are. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people aren't ready to come and see us.
Yeah.
And then maybe 2-3 years down the line, we get a phone call from them and they go, hi, do you remember me? You know, and we go, oh, yes, yeah. And then they're ready to sort of join in with our session.
It sounds like such a, you know, a vital service that you're offering people at what I can only imagine is like a really, really, you know, your whole life has changed, hasn't
yes.
it, when
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that happened?
I mean, we have people that have been coming for years.
Yeah.
And now it's part of their life, really.
Yes.
And I never thought I'd say, you know, that we're to understand what a community was and a close-knit community, but it's exactly
yeah.
what we are, and obviously without us there, some of the service users wouldn't have anything.
Yeah.
So we provide that lifeline, and I think the big thing is it gets them out of the house, which is what you want, and they're seeing a different place.
Yeah.
And then they're meeting other people and hopefully having a laugh and enjoying themselves.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it, Jo. I wonder. So talk to me about. How are you funded? How does that work?
Predominantly funding is through grants and donations. We have a couple of people are funded by Portsmouth City Council mm-hmm. or Hampshire County Council, depending on where they live. But
okay.
I say a couple and it is just a couple.
Sure.
And then we do charge a small fee for people that come along to our sessions. But, as I say, it doesn't really cover our overheads.
And I remember when we spoke before and you were saying sometimes it doesn't seem like the right thing to do to be able to charge people for certain sessions. Is that right?
Yeah, it's more for... So with our hospital project,
yes.
I was lucky enough to get National Lottery funding for 3 years, and that's coming to an end at the end of May.
Okay.
And it's really hard, you know, we're asked can you make it financially sustainable, but unfortunately with something like that, it's like people are just discharged from hospital. We just don't feel that we can go, oh, yeah, we're off you support, but, yeah, you know, it's going to cost you. So, you know, we haven't even put a price on it because we don't want to do that.
It's a sensitive time, isn't it? Yeah. And a vulnerable time.
Yeah,
and...
but again, it's hard, though, because we need to find funding so that we can continue that service. And I always knew that 2026 was going to be a difficult year for me because I need to try and find funding, even if it just funds these two positions for another year.
Sure.
It's just hard, but every charity, everyone I speak to is in exactly the same position. I think the difficulty is we're all going for the same money pots.
Sure.
Which makes it equally hard.
Yeah, and everyone has a great cause and everyone is doing their best to help. And I remember that from working at Spark. When you have funding for a set time, you just have that little, like, you can just breathe just a little bit and until you know it's coming and it's running out. So, you know, I really, I feel you on that, Jo. So is that the kind of biggest challenge that you would say is facing Headway right now?
Yeah, the biggest challenge is the funding and the grants. I mean, I continually apply for grants. I still get disappointed when I don't get them, but then you always get the uplift when you get the one, and I try and apply for sort of four or five a month, just hoping, and small pots. Sometimes it's just like £500, other times it's £1,000.
It all adds up.
Other times, you know, we are going for the big ones of like 40,000-50,000 a year. You know, but that's to cover our hospital and sort of outreach at home program, which is key to what we do.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to look for referrals. I mean, we've got probably 100 referrals that we're currently seeing, and that's with two part-time members of staff. So they're very busy.
Yeah.
But it's a very rewarding job.
Well, it shows you from that list, like, the need is there, isn't
it? Yes.
There is a real need, a need for the work that you're doing. And I know I'll get back to that question in a minute. I was just thinking, we share this with our Portsmouth businesses. I know funds are always number one priority. And I know that you'd be really open if anyone listened to this and it aligned with them and they were interested in helping you. But is there any ways Portsmouth businesses can get involved, or is there any support that you need?
Yeah, I mean, it would be lovely if any businesses wanted to look, if employees wanted to volunteer for us.
Sure.
If they did a volunteer day or something like that would be fantastic. I think another area that sometimes I struggle with is the social media side.
Sure.
I don't understand. I've never done it, actually, which is crowdfunding. But I think having... if someone out there knew or could advise or help in that area, because we're looking at doing more fundraising events, and I think crowdfunding would certainly help. But I don't know where to start.
Yeah, and so, you're so right. It's getting the word out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And making sure that whatever fundraising you do or crowdfunder reaches the right people.
Yes.
So people know about it and they see it. Well, that's a really good ask, Jo. I'm sure there'll be people listening that, if they can't help, might be able to point you in the right direction.
Yes.
Or if anyone is working in social media or marketing and has some volunteering hours that they could even just, you know, spend some time pointing you in the right direction, that might be really helpful.
Yeah, and again, we had a company that helped us with, I set up I'm still sort of creating it, an online training platform for our service users. So it's got courses that will help them understand sort of their injury. So about memory, fatigue, sort of cognitive behaviour. And we're just, you know, anyone that's got advice, and the company did help us with that. But, you know, it's quite new.
Mm-hmm.
And it could do with improving.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I'm happy with what we've got so far.
Sure.
I mean, I haven't quite released it yet. So we're just finalising a few few things on there, and then some of our service users will have access to it.
Yeah.
So that's quite exciting. But again, any help in that area?
Yeah. You have many hats, don't you, when you work in a charity?
Yes.
And I get you. And it's really nice to have that support and just to like, and also just to feel a little bit less alone in what you're doing, and that someone kind of sees you. And it's that Portsmouth has such a great community. You know, everyone is so happy to help, and people want to do good. So
yes.
Yeah, if we can help connect you with anyone that can support that.
And again, that's where you help. The Hive have helped us as well. It's just knowing who to go to, where they can point you in the right direction. So they're almost doing a job that we do with our service users.
Yes.
You know, we're helping, supporting them, pointing them in the right direction. I almost feel sometimes that, yeah, that's when I reach out, if someone can point me in the right direction.
Mm.
To help me in the areas that I need.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I was going to share, I mean, I hope this will come out the week before, but you have got some of your community members doing some fundraising for you. Is that right?
Yes, we've got some of our young people that come to our young persons group wanted to look at raising some money for
okay.
us.
Amazing. And
we came up with the idea of what they wanted to abseil down the Spinnaker Tower.
Okay, wow.
So we've set that up. So that's going to happen on the 23rd of May.
Okay, brilliant.
On a Saturday at 11 o'clock. So they're busy raising money.
Okay, yeah. And I think that we'll share, well, it's been in our newsletter, but we'll share it again, the link for that.
Yes, that would be lovely.
Fundraising link.
Yes,
Wow, how are they feeling about that?
Well, I think I'm more excited about, I mean, I really want to do it. I may do it. If no,
yes.
if someone backs out, then
okay, you're next
I'll
on the list.
It. Yes, oh, 100%.
Wow. And so they must, there's no nerves from them, are there? If they suggested it, they must be really up for it.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, I think it might be one of those things, like on the actual day when you're sort of hanging over the edge,
yes.
the nerves might hit a little bit.
But it'd be such an achievement for them. And
yeah.
I think that's the exciting thing. And really, they want to give back,
mm-hmm.
you know, to the support that we've given them. This is their way of giving back to Headway.
That's
so
amazing.
It's going to be a fantastic day.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that.
So if you're in the Gunwharf area, make sure on the 23rd you visit and cheer them on. Cause,
yes, please.
I mean, I see so many people. I mean, the Spinnaker Tower is such a great place to visit, isn't it? And Gunwharf just generally. And I always see these different charities using it to abseil down. It's such a great thing to do. So if you were to think about more funding, and let's hope some of those funding bids come in, but what would the funding allow you to do?
The funding would allow me to continue with our hospital project and the outreach at home. So the two staff members, that one goes into the hospital and the other one keeps in touch once they're discharged, to continue that service. It's been so invaluable into what the charity does that I can't envisage us not doing that.
It will be a sad day.
There
if
will
that
be
didn't
yes,
happen.
Exactly. There'll be a point where we won't be able to fund it. Touch wood, I'd like to say that's not going to happen. I always stay positive, and I always think that things will work out.
Mm-hmm.
But you just don't know. You never know. Whenever you fill in the bids, when I'm writing grants, there's some that you know you really want, and there's others that you think, oh, that's not going to happen. And it'd be the one that you think that's going to happen that comes back, and you think, oh, great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can never judge what they think. So, but I mean, there's a lot of support. You know, a lot of people do love what we do.
Yes.
And I know that there's not the money out there, but there's got to be something out there. There's all these wonderful charities, and yet we're struggling.
Yeah,
it's a really sort of sad situation to find yourself in.
What do you think has changed, or what do you notice has changed?
For me, I think it's the sort of lack of statutory funding that's available. So obviously the councils have had to cut back on certain things. So it just makes it makes it hard. And then also, you know, if you look, you've got the cost of living.
Sure.
Cost of living crisis where people just do not have the money. And again, that's where we don't want to charge. If we were charging the full cost, I mean...
You wouldn't have people I couldn't, attending.
I couldn't do it to them, you know. I'd rather that... Yeah, we look, you know, we've got a couple of fundraising events going on, and maybe that's the way forward of trying to develop something that will bring in quite a large lot of money. I mean, if I mention, I'd just like to mention, we had one individual last year that contacted us. He wanted to raise money for Headway, and he was doing an ultra marathon in December. And he raised £7,000 for us, which was just incredible. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. And even he, I remember speaking to him and he goes, how much shall I put on my Just Giving page? And I just said, just start with 500 because you can increase it as the, you know. And within, I think, the first week, it hit 1,000. And it was just phenomenal the way that the money was coming in. But that was with his personal story, because obviously he had a brain injury.
Right, okay.
It was his personal story. And it's things like that that you just think, oh, wow. And £7,000 was just amazing for us.
Yes, of course. It can go a long way.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, over the years I've had funding from Portsmouth City Council, Hanson Isle of Wight Community Fund, and they've enabled us to put on additional activities for our service users, which is always nice for them. So sometimes rather than them always do the same thing week in, week out, which they love, they like a routine, but I also like to put in something different.
Sure.
So they've got something to look forward to.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
that's I was just thinking about, we have so many kind people in the city that do fundraising challenges, and I think how wonderful if people were to pick a different charity each time, you know, so that you can make sure that you're kind of spreading your fundraising out across all the brilliant charities in the
city. That would be amazing. But again, it's so hard. People have got, you know, they've got something personal to them that means a lot to them. And as I say, this individual that raised that money last year, I mean, that was personal to him. He had that personal experience.
And I guess because of that, that probably encouraged people to want to support and fundraise, because it obviously spoke to people about what they were doing and why they were doing it.
Yeah, I think if you've got that personal story, and I think it's different. So if I was going to do a fundraising event, yes, I'm the CEO of the charity, but it's not quite the same as someone that's gone through that brain injury and has got that personal sort of touch to it.
No, I hear you, Jo. It's been so great to chat to you and learn more about Headway. Where can people find you if they want to sort of connect with you or follow along with what you're doing?
Yeah, we're based at the Mountbatten Centre in Portsmouth. So you can just pop in. If you ask at the main reception, they will point you in our direction.
Great.
Otherwise, you could like us on we've got our Facebook page. So the more followers we can get, the better. That raises our awareness. And we've also got a webpage.
Lovely. And if anyone is like listening and they have like a friend or a family member, or they need some help in some way, or this conversation has resonated with them, what should they do first?
If they get in touch with us, it can either, you know, if you contact us, you can leave a message at the Mountbatten Centre or Facebook.
Sure.
We do have a telephone number, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yes, that's fine. We'll share it.
And then what we ask, you know, if no one answers, please leave a voicemail, because we always return the call. And then we can speak to you and point you in the right direction. If you're suffering with a brain injury, we will always ask you to fill out a referral form.
Sure.
And then we review that form, and then someone will be in touch and sort of offer that support and advice and hopefully point you in the right direction and help.
Amazing. The last question, Jo, you'll be pleased to know that we ask everybody who's a guest on the podcast is, do you have a favourite place in Portsmouth? It could be a view, it could be a restaurant, it could just be something that you really enjoy doing. What would it be?
See, I was thinking about this when you were saying, and I think I remember when the first time I ever came to Portsmouth, I won't say how long ago that was.
Okay.
But I was driving over the M275 and it felt, and I've never forgotten this feeling, mm-hmm. it felt as if I was coming home.
Aww.
And it was a really weird feeling. And I was driving to Portsmouth for a job interview, which I was offered and I accepted. And I've been in Portsmouth ever since. So wow. I would say, yeah, it was driving over the M275 just into Portsmouth.
Aww.
It's that feeling that never left me.
That's a really, really lovely moment for you to share with us, Jo. And it's weird, isn't it? It doesn't matter where it is or what you're looking at. It's just that feeling, and that home feeling is a really
yeah.
powerful one.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today, Jo. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.